Thank you, Bill, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very special opportunity to greet you, the finest group of workers in the world. And I have some good news for you. It is really your good news. And I want to spend just a few moments sharing with you, in a celebrative kind of way, some of the results of your good work. I will start this with a comment or two about Mission 90, one of the finest meetings in the history of Southern Baptist. I've heard several people say that Mission 90 was probably the best picture of Southern Baptist that has ever been taken. You made that true. You're the people who brought the students and who interpreted this program and who, on short, tight budgets, hunted around and found ways for students to attend. We had 3,800 people at that meeting, about 700 decisions. And I think the Lord is pleased by this. I think the Lord's kingdom will be blessed by this. The Foreign Mission Board, the Home Mission Board, and the WMU are reporting many of their applicants for all phases of work and mission involvement are keying on and pivoting on Mission 90. It has had an immediate effect. And hats off to you people. The Russia project has just been completed. Now, this is a tremendously important project that if I didn't believe in Providence, I would say it just fell in our laps. But I believe in the providence of God. And I believe that it is in His providence that Russian Baptists took the initiative and asked Baptist students in this country to assist in a first mission project, the first mission activity in Russia in, I believe, 72 years. They ask a group of your students to come. And how you responded under duress. Duress, I say that because we received the request through the Foreign Mission Board. It was our job, we accepted it right on the spot, incidentally. But it was our job to reach out into states and find support, get a report back to the Russian embassy of how many people would be involved and who would be the leaders of each group in 8 days. So we could not follow our procedure. We just couldn't follow our procedures. But you responded in such a beautiful way. And just tonight at the supper hour, I heard a very impressive testimony from Don Prince from Texas, who was a participant. It may be that the Lord will open up further opportunities for us to participate in mission projects in Russia. I hope so. The Muslim project is upon us. This is an opportunity to involve 250 students in Muslim enclave type witnessing. And this will be an educational opportunity and an evangelistic opportunity. You'll be hearing a lot about that. The Brazil project has gone well. Let me share with you just a few of the soft numbers. I emphasize now that these are soft. We've been working on the annual interview. We've compiled some of the numbers. There are some impressive results. You people have really done an outstanding job this year, and I must say so. Now, you are aware that 2 years ago there was an 11% increase in student involvement in Baptist Student Union work. That was followed by a 2.5% increase a year ago. And this year we have a 12% increase on top of those others. What a good word. You see, we're not numbers worshipers. We know very well that behind every number, there is a person who is in the image of God, that God has a plan for and is designed for. In the area of discipleship, there has been a 20% increase this year. That is wonderful. In the area of international student work, there has been a 19% increase this year. In the area of involving blacks in Southern Baptist Student Ministry and Black Student Fellowship, there has been a 30% increase. In student missions involvement, one of the hallmarks of this program, student mission involvement, there's been a 34% increase this year. I'm telling you now, you people are doing something right. And as national leader, there's no way in the world that I can take credit for this. We will give God the credit, but you have played very integral parts in this. About 3 years ago, we celebrated the fact that Southern Baptist students were giving $1 million for the first time in the support of student missions. Has that been three years ago? This year, we're reporting that over $2,100,000 were given by students through student mission program. That is phenomenal. I want you to notice that this program is not leveled off, and we're not on the decline. This is a program that we praise God for is growing and growing. In witness training, there has been an 11% increase, but in student evangelism, that is, professions of faith through campus programs, there has been a 50% increase. One interesting little item for you to stash away and maybe take back to your campus with you is that for every 1.2 students involved in witness training within Baptist Student Unions, there is one profession of faith. That is almost one winning one. I don't know of any Southern Baptist program that can come close to this in the area of evangelism. All of that in the face of the fact that you had $1 million less to spend this past year. Now, that is not news to some of you. You know very well that there is a tightness of money and that budgets are being restricted. On an average, state convention student department budgets were cut this past year on an average of 6%. So, you have accomplished some really outstanding results. I'm not surprised about this, because I know who you are, and I know what you're committed to, and I know what your great capabilities are. And you've given your lives to meeting the needs of students. And as national leader, I stand here today needing to commend you in the warmest and most sincere kind of way. Well, I thought you might enjoy some of those numbers. I don't know that it would be in order for us to stand up and give one another a hand, you know, but that's pretty good. That's a good report, and I commend you for it. Now, in the second part of our program tonight, we want to pick up where we left off a year ago, at the point of the trustee action instructing my office to work with Max Barnett to produce some materials for disciple making on campuses. I stood here a year ago and said to you, quotes, "The student ministry department will be faithful to their action," that is, to the trustee action, "and carry it out with integrity. We will move immediately to develop materials and take necessary administrative actions to produce materials. It will require intensive, immediate study to implement this trustee action in time to be implemented a year from now." Now, we had a meeting in September the 10th or so, to plan to plan the year's plan. Max Barnett was enlisted. We drew up a contract, and two or three other writers assisted, several other writers assisted in the writing of the material. Now, this was not anticipated in our editorial schedules, you understand. So I'm very proud of the way our people in our office, our people were able to move around and find room for extra work and so forth. And they did an excellent job. I'm very proud of them. And we have it here this week. It arrived on our docks at the Sunday School Board last Thursday or so. I mean, we just barely made it, man. Well, we're glad we made it. And we're glad that it is here this week. And we're glad that Max Barnett is here. Max, I want you to come and stand by me for a moment. As you know, this is unrehearsed. But I want to say to you and to say to these people that it has been a delight to work with you. It has been a delight to experience your good spirit and to work with you on the production of this document. Now, I have, through the year, sometime or other, in the March or so, I went and spent some time with Max on his campus. I saw people being won to the Lord. I heard testimonies of students witnessing. I saw intensive Bible studies. I saw long-range planning going on. I spent some time in his home. And I want to say that it has been a pleasure to work with you. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that I have found that Max's program is a program that is committed to what I'm committed to. That is, my commitment is to introduce students to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, to nurture them in the Christian life, and to involve them in the life and mission of the church. And I have found that what Max is doing and what he's written is within the bounds, within the sidelines, within the parameters of the mission statement of Southern Baptist Student Ministry. And Max, welcome. Tell us about it, will you?
I too want to say how deeply I appreciate what was done on the part of the student department, because they've been very, very gracious in working with us on this. I felt that as a result of the way it was done, the best thing that we could do is get it out in a hurry, get it out such that it could be in your hands. The reason it was asked to be written in the first place is not that someone wanted something to just be written, but this has been in effect at the University of Oklahoma for 20 years. It's been in effect at Nebraska, Kansas State, Iowa, University of Wyoming, and a number of other campuses. So it is a program that has been going on. A sociologist in Canada wrote a book called Fragmented Gods, in which he said this generation is into options. One of the things the Home Mission Board has found, and they are saying, is we need different types of churches to reach different types of people. And so there's a desperate need in our day. We found this with our college, in our college Sunday school. We run about 200 in the church where I go, and they have options for Sunday school. Students are into options. Years ago, as a result, and I'll always be grateful to God, I arrived on a college campus at Texas A&M, never having heard of BSU. A student knocked on my door the first week, and my life was totally revolutionized as a result of the Baptist Student Union. One thing I learned early in life was we tried to make the BSU be all that it could be, and we were free to try and to discover whatever we could to make it more effective. When I came to the University of Oklahoma over 20 years ago as a result of a conversation with my state director, our state executive secretary, there were some things that we wanted to try because we wanted to, we felt like in our situation, there were some things that perhaps we could do to make the Baptist Student Union more effective. For example, I asked for an associate. When I arrived at the campus, it was growing at the rate of 1,000 students a year, and I was told there was no money for associates. And I knew that I couldn't do all that needed to be done on that campus, so I went back to our board and asked them if they'd allow me to give away half of my salary and raise half of it. And they said, well, if you want to try that, fine. So we did that. We got an associate. The two of us gave away half our salary. We hired two others, and so we had four on our staff. We asked them then a year later if we could give away two-thirds of our salary and be responsible for raising two-thirds so we could have six. And they allowed us to do that. We went to the university and went to Nebraska, called them to see if they were interested in being a BSU director. And they said, we'd love to have one, but we don't have the money. And so we went up there. There were two churches in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each pastor said we could give $25 a month to put a BSU director on that campus. And we said, well, we'll go back and ask our students if they'll give some money. And we went to our alums and we helped Brett Yon and Bob Anderson and these fellows raise their salary. Jack Owens went to Iowa State. David Bunch was there. He knew what Jack was doing. He later went to the Home Mission Board. And out of that experience, Mission Service Corps was born. We saw the value of trying to reach students, and we're overwhelmed on our campuses. Today, one out of two students arriving on a campus is from a broken home. 2 years ago in our BSU, we had 14 girls meeting with one of our staff fellows one night a week who had been sexually molested. Folks, we are in a situation in which we're being overwhelmed on our campuses. Our society is changing phenomenally. And we need to do everything we possibly can to reach students. And I saw early in life that I had to give my life to trying to win students to Christ and to train them so they in turn could walk with God, grow to some maturity so they in turn could reach others. And so as we experimented and tried things in our BSU and as we prayed and sought the Lord, it was obvious that God was leading us in what we were doing. And then the day came in which as we studied the Scriptures and we continued to look into the Word of God to see, are there ways in our situation where we can do something that perhaps we can be more effective? And I remember riding on an airplane, going to speak to Missionary Journeyman one day and talking with Dr. T.B. Maston. I said, Dr. Maston, as I read the New Testament, and I see that Paul would go through cities and he'd come back through and he'd ordain elders and it's always plural. It seemed to me that in the New Testament churches and in their ministries, they had multiple leaders. They did not just have one pastor. He said, Max, there's absolutely no question about that. I said, then why don't we? You know what he said? I'll never forget it. He said, you know the number one reason? Pride. Most people don't want other people on the same level with them. And where he was right or wrong, it made me think. And I began to look in the New Testament. Another thing that I began to see all through the Bible, I saw it with Abraham. Abraham and his approach to accomplish objective used a team. He would take a team of his servants and they'd go out and do things. I saw it with David. For from day to day, men kept coming to David until there was a great army like an army of God. And I saw it all. Saul also, after he was ordained, Saul went home and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And I saw again and again that in order to accomplish an objective, one of the best ways to do it is to have a team. You go to the New Testament. Jesus chose 12 men. There was no hierarchy in that group. The only thing you'll ever find in that group is Judas kept the money bag. And those were a group of men, and they formed a team, and they had a ministry. I saw the same thing with Paul. They accompanied Paul into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and all the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Tychicus and Trophimus. And wherever he went, there was a band of men. And I began to see that, for example, freshmen have special needs. And so we began to think, how can we reach freshmen? And so we started, why not start a freshman ministry team. And Ralph and Pam Neighbor were on our staff at the time, and it was basically their idea. And so we began to think, how can we reach freshmen? And I'm going to share with you tonight basically what we do on our campus. And I want to remind you of one thing. Proverbs 14:6 says, knowledge is easy to him that understands. If you understand the principle, you can adapt the methodology. The thing you see in the New Testament that's set solidly in concrete is the principle, the biblical principle. Methods always have to be flexible because methods always have to be culturally adaptive. Now, many of you that sit out here know that in the context of our church life, in many situations, we're doing exactly what we were doing 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we had Sunday school at 10. We do now have it at 9:30. We had Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night preaching, Wednesday night preaching. Our society has changed in a phenomenal way. And in some contexts, in some situations in our church life, we've changed very little. And as you well know, many of the baby boomers and the 20-ish group will not be reached by some of the traditional methods we've used. And we must see what is biblical and what is a principle and be able to look at our culture and make the cultural adaptations to reach the most people. And freshmen, they have special needs. They need friendship. They need to be banded together with a little group of students who are also committed to Christ that they can go through their school years with. They have some special needs. You can use peer pressure for good. They need encouragement. They need fellowship. And so we started a freshman ministry team, and here's basically the way it works. We bring our leadership back to our campus a week early. 1 week before school starts, all of those that are our leaders must return a week early. And when I go back Monday at 4 o'clock, or 4:30, we'll start a meeting with about 80 students. And so we meet for a retreat on Monday night and Tuesday and Wednesday till noon. And then they move into the dorms. They know exactly their assignment on campus, where they're working on the floor of a dorm, where they're working in an apartment house, wherever they're working. And they start visiting. And we have a big party out in the front yard at the BSU on Friday night before school starts. We have had as many as 1,078 students at the Baptist Student Center by the day class started. Because we have a party on Friday night. We have a party on Monday night. Last year we had 450 students, 225 of them we'd never seen before. We get the names of those students. When they come, we've set tables up and we get the names. And then we take those inside, and we have ladies coming in on the computers and typewriters. And by the time they leave that night, we have a list typed up of every student was there. We have them duplicated. And every leader knows before he leaves the BSU to come by and pick up that list. There's times that we have had a breakfast the next morning and visited every single student that we could catch. And every single student was visited by the first Sunday he was on class and invited to go to Sunday school and church with us. And we begin to tell those students, and we visit freshmen. And the students have certain floors, and they work all year on that floor. And I remember one day seeing a fellow from Campus Crusade. He said, we've not been to a single room yet, but what the BSU has already been there. And we go out and try to visit those people. We bring them back to the BSU. And then we tell them on Monday night we're having a freshman rally, and we have three big rallies each week, one each week on Monday nights. One is how to survive academically, and we give them some help in how to be good students. The next week we invite them back, and we give them some help on how to survive socially, and we give them some help in relationships and dating. The next week we have a session on how to survive spiritually, and we give them some help in their spiritual life. And we begin to tell them about the freshman ministry team and tell them we want them to join the freshman ministry team. About 4 weeks into the semester, we have a retreat for freshmen. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning retreat. And we begin to tell all of our meetings, we're going after freshmen, we're visiting them. And we ask them to come to those meetings. And then we start the meetings on Monday night that are now the freshman ministry team meetings. 2 weeks later, we have a second retreat. By that second retreat, we ask them to make a commitment to be on that team. We ask them to make three commitments. Come to the freshman ministry team. It meets one night a week on Monday night from 6 until 7:45. That's an hour and 45-minute meeting. We ask them to come to our Vesper, our large service on Thursday night, which meets for an hour and 15 minutes. And we ask them to be in a Bible study meeting on campus. That means with our freshmen, we have them a portion of three nights a week, and we begin early to work with them towards commitment. At the end of that second retreat, that team is closed, and we can begin to build towards some things in their lives. They can still bring a visitor, but the membership in the team is closed. The leader of that team gets an appointment with each one of those students. We call it a get acquainted time. And he spends time with them. Some of them are not even Christians. We have students become Christians each year during those conferences. The second semester, that team is opened up again so new students can join. And we say that during that freshman year, we work on two things. We work on enlistment, and we work on exposure, exposing them to the Christian life. That team is led in our situation by a staff person. If you're on a small campus, you're by yourself, it may be led by a mature student or a layman. We also select 10 of the very best students we have, 5 fellows and 5 girls, to work with a staff person with that team, such that when those students come, we can have the large group meeting in which they play get acquainted games, they do different things, they may have a message from the leader, and then they break into those small groups, each one of them led by a mature upperclassman. That upperclassman also is responsible for visiting them, and if one of them begins to drop out, to go find out why. And then in the spring of that year, we go into that freshman ministry team. We begin to talk to them about next year when they come back as sophomores. We want them to be on the discipleship team. And so many of them, before they ever leave for the summer, they're already recruited to come back next year to know exactly what they're going to do. And the discipleship team is also led by one staff, and we have also selected for that team 10 mature upperclassmen, 5 fellows and 5 girls. They come for 2 hours, one night a week, and have discipleship training. We started that the year before, but we're holding them this sophomore year out of ministry one more year as far as them actually leading a ministry. They can be a Bible study assistant, but we want to get them established as best we can in their Christian life before we put them out in the dorms responsible for a ministry. At one time, we had them go straight from the freshman ministry team to the ministry team, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes. And we found that some of them floundered. They needed that second year in which we work at them getting established in their quiet time. They memorize verses. We work with them on their testimony. Many of them also assist the Bible study leaders, so they have a year of experience before they're asked to lead a Bible study. They have a retreat during that year. And then in the spring, we go into that team and we begin to talk with them about what they want to do the next year. And we have personal interviews in which every one of those students comes in, visits with the staff, and we spend 20 minutes in which we ask that student, what do you want to do next year? What ministry do you want to be involved in? Do you want to lead a Bible study? Do you want to be one of the 10 freshman coordinators? Would you like to be one of the 10 discipleship coordinators? Do you want to lead a Bible study? Or do you want to assist in leading a Bible study? Where will you be living? Where do you want to work? And we find out that information. Where a student asks to work, unless there's some good reason not to, we allow him to work there. We encourage the students as much as possible to live in the dorms, because a student will double his ministry by simply moving into the dorms. You know, one of the thrilling things is to see the way some of these students begin to get a vision. Many of them in one dorm, where we have 1,000 students in that one dorm, they ask for the room right next to the elevator, so that everyone that goes on that hall has to walk by their room. Many times when they don't have to study, they leave the doors open. At the first of the year, they buy refreshments, so when people are moving in, they stop by their room and they talk. And that student takes that floor as his mission field for that year. Some lead apartment Bible studies. Some lead commuter studies. One fellow had 25 in a band Bible study. And so they pick their areas for ministry. And we tell them this. This year, We want to do everything we can to help get you established in this ministry. And we ask them in that interview, if you're going to be on the ministry team next year, the leadership ministry team, then there's some things that we want to ask of you. Would you have any difficulty in coming back a week before school starts? Almost without exception. They said, no, I'd have no problem with that. Another thing we want to ask you, we want 2.5 hours of your time on Friday evenings. Now, we don't meet every Friday evening, but we meet about 3 out of 4 times in the semester. And there will be students who know that, and they don't plan to go home. And we found that students don't study on Friday night very often. It's a great time for our ministry team meetings. And so we meet for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. We come together, first of all, as a large group. We may sing, we'll hear testimonies, we hear what's going on. And then we break down into teams and we say to those people, if you will commit yourself to have a ministry before God, we will commit ourselves to do everything we can to help equip you to do that. Now, on that ministry team are those 10 coordinators for the freshman team. They're the 10 coordinators for the discipleship team. And then there's everyone else that has met the requirement to be on that team. There are times in which, and it's rare, but a student will ask to be on that team. As we talk with him, we know he's not ready. We ask him to spend another year on the discipleship team because of where he is, and we want him to be ready once he goes out into ministry. Now, normally we have about 65 on our freshman ministry team. We normally have around 70 on a discipleship team. We normally have about 80 on the ministry team. One night we met for our ministry team meeting. There are 80 people on that team. 79 of them are there, and one girl is not there because she called in sick. And they start learning when they're freshmen to begin to pay the price if you're going to have a ministry. And you know, a lot of people, when they hear that, they say, boy, you must crack the whip. Absolutely not. You know what we do? During that interview, as we talk with them, they say, you know, if we're going to stay together, we've got to stay together. You know, it's not right for you to come in and ask a question 1 week in the ministry team that someone asked a week before, and you weren't here because you had a date. And so we're going to commit ourselves to have a ministry on this team, to be a team. And there's going to be accountability. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to make some commitments as far as our own personal walk with God. And we're going to make some commitments as far as scripture memory. And we'll make some commitments as to far as each one of us being committed to have a ministry somewhere out on the campus. You know, each year we go on a spring break trip. Last year we took 292 for our spring break trip. It cost them $295 a piece. And some people say, well, we don't have that kind of money on our campus. It's not a matter of money, primarily. I mean, we have students that pray, they work, they help others to go. But you know, on that freshman team, we see that we have about 55% of the people on the freshman team go on that trip. That sophomore year, the discipleship team, and incidentally, if a commuter comes in, a new student, any upperclassman, we immediately can plug them into the discipleship team. So that is not only for sophomores, it's for any upperclassman that's not on the ministry team. We have found that with a discipleship team, we have about 75% that make that trip. When it comes to the leadership team, it's over 95% of the people that usually go on that trip. And it's obvious just to see their commitment as they move on. Now, that's basically the way those teams work. A person can be on the leadership ministry team for 2 years before he graduates, if we have him for 4 years. Now, we have found that for us, this has worked very, very well. I find that I can give a great deal of time to ministry. Some people say, how do you get the many tasks done if you don't have someone assigned as a devotional chairman? Well, for example, Vespers. We have 15 a semester. We will ask off of those teams for 30 students. We meet with them for 1 hour and explain to them the quality we want in that Vesper service. We never will get started a minute late in Vespers. We want you to be here. And so we select an MC, and that MC MCs the meeting. We also select a planner, and that student gets someone to give testimonies, get someone to come over, because in our building we have to move all the furniture to be able to get the people in. They set up the chairs. They are in charge of the refreshments. And the beautiful thing about it, the person that's in charge of that can ask Joe on the 9th floor, Walker, why don't you bring your Bible study and y'all set up the chairs? And they can ask one of the girls' team, would your Bible study take care of the refreshments? And as a result of it, we have never had as many students involved. But they perform their task and go immediately back to their ministry. And one of the things we're finding more and more is students have less time. Many of them are working and carrying heavy loads. I have limited time that I can give to organization. They do too. And so we want to do everything we can to equip them and put them out there having a ministry. Now, let me just say this. Tonight, before you leave, you're going to be given one of the guidebooks. A man in Oklahoma City, a gracious man, has purchased one for you. Also, a tape catalog where all the tapes that are listed in the materials will also be given to you tonight. Basically, the way the book is put together is this. Regardless of what ministry it is, where it's a Baptist Student Center, a church campus ministry, or whatever, the way that ministry operates depends basically the number on one thing primarily, and that is the concepts that are held by the leadership. What are the concepts that are in mind of the leaders? And basically we have tried to say from the New Testament there's some that really stand out. Like one, God is a source of life and ministry. If you're going to have a ministry, God is going to do it through you if you have a ministry that amounts to anything. The Bible is the basis of our ministry. The importance of the Great Commission, the imperative of the Great Commission, the equipping of disciples that multiply, the absolute necessity of godly character. And one of the things we try to do through all aspects of the ministry, as I know you do in your ministry, is there's a tremendous importance on godliness. And we don't want someone leading and getting up there giving a testimony whose life does not stack up. So there's a tremendous emphasis on the necessity of godly character. And then also the importance of the individual, the value of the church and teamwork. Another thing that's so very important for any ministry is a director's life, the quality of the director's life. And so there's a chapter on that. His priorities, your relationship to God, your relationship to your mate, to your children, bringing ministry into that home, being able to give the time you need to your family so that as your children grow up, they want to be a part of the Baptist Student Union. And it's not something that kept them from having a mom or a dad. And so there's an emphasis on the life and the quality of the director. And then the directors, another thing that helps determine what our ministry will be like is the director's purpose and his vision. And now, in this, we've tried to make a distinction because I think there is a clear distinction between purpose and vision. Every Christian ought to have the same purpose. Every Christian ought to love God. Every Christian ought to witness. Every Christian ought to glorify God. Every Christian ought to be committed to making disciples. But vision has to do with the way God has made you, with your personality, with the calling of God on your life, with your spiritual gifts. And that'll be different for different people. So we help the students to find the great purposes of God as we help them be involved in the church and study the Word and become a godly person, seeking God with all their heart. And then we try to help them find out what is God's unique place for you, and it'll be different for each one. So there's no attempt to pour them into a mold. We're going to stress these things, but we're going to help that person. And I couldn't care less where he wants to be, a layman, a pastor, a missionary, a BSU director, as long as he's committed to God and gets a vision for his life as to where God wants him. And then we have a chapter in here on the student and the Great Commission, the tremendous importance of students when it comes to the Great Commission. Once they graduate, they can go anywhere. We could have students helping in church planning and in so many ways. Students are available for training. And then we come to the area of strategy. Your strategy comes out of your purpose and out of the quality of your life and out of your concepts. And some people wonder, why did you save the last chapter to even discuss organization? Because your organization comes out of your strategy. What are you trying to accomplish? Then you get organized depending on what you want to accomplish. Had a student to tell me a number of years ago, he said, we spend far more time in our BSU raising our summer missions than we do in evangelism. Raising our summer missions offering. You know how long it takes us to raise our summer missions offering? 30 minutes once a year to raise $20,000. Because I bring one message at that retreat to the student. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we need in summer missions. And here's what we want to send to Pioneer BSUs. And before God, we need to decide what God wants us to do. Write on a card what you give the next year. It's mentioned once a year. I will not take so much time to raise a mission offering that the students don't have time to lead Bible studies. And what I found at one time, a student was spending an hour a week in a meeting, and then he would spend an hour with the director, and he would spend an hour with his committee, and if he only met with one member of his committee each week, he's already spent 4 hours and he's done nothing but talk. And whatever else you've got to do, you've got to go do it. And I decided, before God, I've got to try to find a way to give that student all the time he needs for his ministry. And I'm going to do everything I can to help equip him for that ministry. Now, team has some tremendous advantages, but it has some weaknesses. It does have some weaknesses. When it comes time for retreat, we don't automatically have it assigned to somebody. I can live with that. What I can't live with is students getting out of the BSU not knowing how to witness, not knowing how to lead people to the Lord. And I remember a number of years ago being in a city talking to a pastor, and he says, I've got 50 members of my church that live in one apartment house in this city. Many of those students had been a part of BSUs, and they'd been a part of one of our Baptist schools. And he said, I found as I visited with him in that apartment house, not only were they not reaching people, but they were becoming like the people that they were around. Folks, I can't live with that one. And I know you can't either, and you're working at evangelism and those things, as we've heard tonight. But basically, that's what we're trying to do. I want our organization to come out of our strategy. What am I trying to accomplish? Is evangelism important? Then am I giving the time to it needs? Am I giving the time to building students? You see, teams have some tremendous advantages. Team has a common objective. It has an accepted leader. It has a tremendous love among each other. It has a division of labor. And we've found that as a result of this, there's a way for students to have accountability and for them to be in a team. And those freshmen, usually after having been on that freshman ministry team, they'll meet somewhere during the summer. And they build a tremendous sense of loyalty. And some of those people, we get them praying when they're freshmen for their class and trying to witness to their class as they go through school. And so basically, that's what it's about. Our time is gone. If you will do this, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes. But we're going to pass out some 3x5 cards. If you are a BSU director, a state director, an associate director, a college minister working with students, I'm sorry I can't make the offer to everyone because that wasn't the way it was done. But for those that are actually in a campus ministry, if you will write your name clearly on that card, the campus you represent, then when we dismiss, you can either go to the back here or to the front, and you will be given this book. You will also be given the tape catalog. A layman in Oklahoma City wanted you to have that, and he's agreed to purchase one for every BSU director. And so, we better not get into questions. Charlie, thank you. One final word. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. This may not be for you. This is an alternate approach. Maybe what you're doing is working fine for you. God bless you. I in no way want to try to push this on anyone else. It's an alternate approach to student ministry. I want that to be very, very clear. Maybe what you've done is something that's working very, very well on your campus. Tremendous. We are not trying to be divisive. Before God, we're trying to follow Him for our own life. And we felt, and the reason this was asked, as I said before, to be written, because some people were already doing it and finding it helpful. And so we're going to have two tracks on which you can run, that which we historically run, and then this one also.